Hello and welcome to GamerCast episode 183. This is the show recorded on the 17th of January 2010. And I am your host, Paul. Joining me, of course, is...
Me.
Is Adam.
Sorry, I was reading then. Oh, not paying attention as usual. Hi, welcome.
And, of course, we are also joined by...
Catherine. Hello.
Yellow, right. So I don't think we've got much to talk about this week, so see you guys next week.
Yay! Back to bed.
Oh. No, well, people are going to notice a few changes in this week's episode, because due to complaints from some individuals about how our show is like just giant
blobs
jumble of randomness, this week we are going to structure it. So we're going to move into our first structured segment, which is...
Cool.
Well, I'll read you the sound effects after, okay?
Should I just...
Because the only the annoying thing with this is because I'm using this program, I can't put down a marker like I could in Soundforge, so I have to listen to it again. So just give me a break, okay? I can make noises if I want.
Okay, Paul.
So first news item this week, Catherine is going to quickly talk about.
Yep, it's a bit of a silly thing. But
BBC Free needs stereotypical gamers.
Yeah, the BBC are currently doing something for BBC Three, which
the BBC are doing something for BBC Three.
Well, yeah, because it's not just going to be on like normal BBC channels. Because BBC Three is a bit
weird,
less watched by most people.
That's because it's weird.
Well, it's because it starts airing at like 6 or something. But they've put up an ad in a few places. I know Forbidden Planet posted it on their Twitter, saying that they are wanting people who play games and prefer playing games to doing exercise and stuff like that. And the email was like at lifestyle something or other. So it's like they're wanting to have stereotypical gamers and try and turn them into normal people.
Yeah.
So that's what they're going to try and make it look like.
Basically, the premise of this program is gamers are evil. We must transform
and
them.
They don't have lives. They just play games.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because I'm a gamer and I don't have a life.
Sorry? Because it mentioned all the time about how not getting exercise with all their examples.
Obviously,
like having more exercise in WoW than in real life or something like that.
Well, of course you do more exercise in a computer game. It's because most people run around all the time in a computer game.
And jump around. You wouldn't do that in real life, would you? Running and jumping.
I've done it in the past. I have no objection to bunny hopping in real life.
Okay.
RL, as it's now called.
One point I'd like to add on there is the fact that it depends on what type of stereotype of gamer you're talking about, whether it's someone who's a child or someone who's teenager or older.
It's 18 to 26-year-olds.
18 to 26-year-olds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just wanted to mention it because I thought it was a bit silly.
Yeah.
Some people are taking it seriously. A lot of people are going against it.
You know, I don't think you can put... You've got the average gamer who is a stereotype, but then you've got just the average Joe who happens to be a gamer as well. It's like another cap that you wear when you come home. You've got the guys that play non-stop games, and then you've got the people who are mad into their games but do other things.
Indeed, right. Dante's Inferno animation. What the hell is this news item?
You might want to change the show notes so it doesn't seem as weird, or the thing we upload.
What do you mean is weird?
Well, just because Dante's Inferno animation sounds a bit weird. But, because...
What do you want to change it to,
then? I don't know. We'll talk about... Dante's Inferno. Because EA have commissioned Film Roman, the people that animate...
Who's that?
They animate The Simpsons.
I thought some South Korean Matt Groening clones animated The Simpsons.
No, Film Roman do.
Okay.
And they do lots of other animations and stuff. And them and a few other people are creating, I think it was 7 animations. Wait, how many Circles of Hell are they? 9?
Don't ask me. This is a fictitious place. I don't know about
maybe
fiction.
There's 9. There's 9 of them. 9 animations, which are all done by different people, I think. So on the same style of animatrix. And it's coming out... I don't think there's been a release date announced for it. But they're doing a premiere. Yeah, that's the only thing I heard mentioned. They're doing a premiere of them in London on the 2nd of February. Which myself and Paul are going to.
And what? You... This is the thing I'm going
yes,
to.
Yes, that's the thing you're going to, Paul.
Oh, man.
Hopefully it'll be cool, though, because they're giving away free
Wait,
stuff
what
as
day
well.
Is this?
2nd of February.
Am I working that day?
It's a Tuesday. You're not going to know that far ahead, Paul.
I might be working.
It's at 7:30.
I might be working.
Sorry. I like the sound. I must admit, I do like the sound of that, because a lot of the ones that have been done before have been done really well.
Yeah, I just hope that, like, the guys I've had commissioned to do it just do a nice job of it, because it could be quite nice.
Well, Animatrix really liked that one.
Mm.
There was the Batman one.
Yeah, Gotham Knight. Yeah.
That was done really well. And then there's the new Halo one that's come out, which I've not seen yet, but I've seen little clips of it, and that looks pretty good. So I do like it when you get something where it's similar subject matter, but it's different animation artists and directors take on part of the story in a different animation style.
Yeah.
Cool.
Also, as well, they a PR person that I follow on
PR
Twitter, mentioned that on release, the Dante's Inferno animation is going to be £10 on Blu-ray and DVD in HMV, which I thought was quite good, because £10 for it on Blu-ray, and because it'll be animation, and animation looks nicest, as high quality as possible.
Mm.
So I'm going to be picking that up for £10, as well as going to see it as well, so that's cool.
Well, hey.
Yeah.
Also in the news, 3D.game heroes.
Yes, and I need to be able
I'm
to
trying,
see
I'm trying.
Yes.
I'm trying to read stuff,
and
dude.
Can I do this? Yeah. Oh, wrong
now
one.
What if, dude.
I want to be able to see the show notes. They say stuff on them.
You got a copy down there.
Yeah, that doesn't have my notes. Anyway, so I was just going to mention that 3D.game heroes has been announced to come out in Europe this year. Because originally I thought it wouldn't come out. Atlas published it in America, or are publishing it in America. And hopefully we will begin it in May sometime this year. South Peak Games are publishing it, which I think is quite odd, because I'm not sure on if they'll make that much money out of it, but it seems quite cool. And I'm looking forward to it. It's quite a weird little game. But yeah, so that's just a quick announcement of its announcement of being released over here.
Right, so what is this Half Minute Hero thing?
Yeah, that's just another thing that I'm mentioning the date on. Half Minute Hero has also been announced to be coming out. Is that just a bang?
It's them banging around, okay. Yes.
Has been announced to be
bang.
Released by Rising Star Games. It's a PSP game. It's coming out the 12th of February, and it's an RPG where nothing lasts longer than half a minute. So each battle, ooh, if it lasts over half a minute, I think you get game over or something like that. You just got to do everything in half a minute. It's got quite a nice concept to it.
That's cool.
And that's 12th of February, but of course it is currently only going to be a retail release, so you won't be able to play it on PSP Go. And I doubt that it'll go on the marketplace, because it's Rising Star, and I wouldn't think that they're going to have any PSP mini games coming out anytime soon.
Shame.
But yeah, but that looks interesting. Next thing up is just another brief announcement of what? No, that's how it's spelled.
I don't care if that's how it's spelled. That's proper English.
Okay, fine, Paul. Flips Percy Jackson, which is a game that I worked on a little while back.
I helped.
Two things. By helping me out with some information. Is another title in the Flips.
I helped.
Thank you, Paul. It's another title in the Flips series, which is for the DS, which is...
Wait, can I have it on PC?
No, Paul.
I want on PC. I'd rather, you know, reading is a lot better on a PC with a nice high-resolution screen. Don't you think?
A kid's going to be able to afford those?
A kid... All kids have access to computers now. And even the ones which can't afford a computer, the government gives them a computer now.
Kids can't hold computers. Oh. Little computers. It's like a book!
Stop being a DS fanboy.
No! Anyway, as
stop
I
stop hitting me!
Paul, let me talk!
Sorry.
You're the one moaning about it not being structured. And other people.
Yeah, this is still the news segment.
Okay. Anyway.
Hey, so, Adam makes it the worst. You know what Adam's like.
This is the fifth installment in the Flip series, which is of Percy Jackson, which is a book set in present times.
Wait, can I ask what Percy Jackson is?
Percy Jackson is a kid in it. He's
oh,
the main
great.
Kid.
We've got a kid.
It's set in America, and Greek gods are still around. They're doing a film of it, which comes out around the same time of the release of the game on the title on DS. Activision are also making a Percy Jackson game. I'm not sure how that's going to be, but it's a DS-only title as well. And hopefully you'll do quite well. I don't think very highly of the film. The books are quite good, though, for 12-year-old books. But yeah, so that's Flips Percy Jackson. That's coming out in February, which is around the time the film comes out. So that's cool. Next thing we have... I'm just reeling loads of crap off, aren't I? Yeah.
I'll do this one.
Okay.
The Nintendo DSi XL has been announced for Europe. Price is £160, so it's £10 more than a DSi.
That's not bad.
Feature-wise, it's basically the same as a DSi, only bigger.
And you get preloaded software on
it. Yeah, you got a couple of preloaded games and stuff.
I think that's quite good, though.
Yeah, whatever.
They're like 800-point games.
Whatever. So anyway, this will be released on March 5th, in the UK at least.
I wonder when they're going to release
it. A few days beforehand.
Yeah, Europe may have it like a couple of days earlier.
I don't think an American release date's been announced yet either.
I'm curious to see if Nintendo are going to release DSi Extra Small.
Well, judging how well the Game Boy Micro did, probably not.
No, that's true.
I always wanted one of those, but I couldn't justify it.
I can't see myself picking up a DSi XL.
No, it's not much point if you've already got a DS.
My DSi does all it needs to do, and I wouldn't want to have something heavier and bigger to put in my bag. My bag doesn't have that much space as it is.
And to be honest, it's for that person who doesn't use it as a portable device. It's something that's sat on the coffee table when they're playing different types of games.
Well, a 4.2-inch screen isn't that big. You know, Catherine's phone, the HTC HD2, powered by Windows Mobile 6.5, has a 4.3-inch screen. It also features a 1 GHz Snapdragon processor.
Did he get paid to say that?
No. Well, you're always blabbering on about your MacBook this and your Mac this and your iPhone that. Yeah.
Speaking of touch screens and really nice screens, when I went to see Daybreakers at the cinema last night...
Is this on the news thing, dude? No. This is,
I'm just quickly
okay,
putting
okay, wait
in.
A minute. I need to do a segment break. Adam's rambling rant. okay, carry on.
There was an advert for the new Canon camera, which is... Ixus. I've got an Ixus, and the new one that's coming out has actually got a full touch screen, and you can slide backwards and forwards scrolling with your finger to look at different pictures. But it also showed the fact that you had someone stood on the left side and you tap on their face and it locks onto their head, and as they run over the screen you hit the button and it takes a picture of them and keeps their face all in nice clarity and zooms in on them and stuff. It's very cool.
Okay, back to the news.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed 3 has been, the Assassin's Creed team people, whatever they're called.
Montreal Studio.
Yeah, people from Montreal, wherever that is. Someplace in Mogna Regis, by the sound of it.
They're saying that there are going to be a new Assassin's Creed title coming out that's going to have Ezio from Assassin's Creed 2 in, and will have multiplayer features. They haven't suggested anything towards the fact that it'll be one against one. You know, I'm going to be Ezio, you can be Altair, and he can be Leonardo, and they fight each other with swords. It seems like it's going to be more in the sense of cooperative action and actually working together to assassinate someone, someone distracts, someone kills, sort of thing. But yeah, that sounds pretty cool.
That's cool. I need to play the second one, though, too.
In other far more important news...
Yeah, you can talk about this.
The WoW Armory has been updated. Yep. Adam, have you seen this?
I don't play WoW anymore.
Neither do I.
Yeah, neither does Paul, but I found it out, so, and he was like, oh my god.
What does it do? Tell me.
You know, back in the old days, the Armory was basically just like a 2D list of the stuff your character has and... all the stats and information about them. Well, now, instead of having like the center, instead of just having a picture of your dude, it's now actually like a 3D Flash thing.
Or a 3D model.
You've got a 3D model running in Flash, and you can tell him to dance, and
you can rotate him and zoom
rotate
in.
Rotate him around, and all this sort of stuff. You can make it full screen. So, yeah, check out the WoW Armory.
So, you can take pictures of your character without having to play the game.
Yeah.
And have crappy people running around everywhere.
And actually see him in what you last left him wearing.
Yeah, and basically, well, you can embed it in other websites as well.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think that's the best bit.
So what I'm tempted on doing on the Gamercast website, I've been meaning to do like an about page on there for a while. And I'll put our Xbox 360 avatar people on there.
Oh, the avatars, that's cute.
The pictures of them, and also our gamer badge picture, gamer score,
so do that.
Things, and then also maybe like our WoW armory people, so everyone can see how
me
everyone like can see how epic Dinadal is and how much of a nab Kaffran is.
Thank you, Paul.
My character's still only halfway through leveling the crap.
Well, you're Death Knight's higher level than any of Kaffran's dudes.
Mm. How long have I been playing Brinley, though? Come on.
10 years. 25, maybe. 25 tops.
Because WoW is that old.
No.
We've actually sold out of World of Warcraft.
Have you?
Yeah, it's that popular. We sold out.
I did find out that the Star Wars game's been put back.
Oh, who cares about that? Moving along to Final Fantasy XIII.
Final Fantasy XIII got its debut to the public and also reporters is the English version. It was in a blacked out bus that was driving around San Francisco, pulling up in areas to allow the public to actually play. I know the only reason that reporters were kind of went along was the fact that they were brought along for a first viewing of Final Fantasy XIII, but they weren't allowed to play it. So they were told about this bus, and most of them went around trying to find the bus just to go play on the game. One of the guys said it's quite interesting to actually see Final Fantasy XIII being played on both consoles side by side, which is the first time they've actually seen that being done. They said that it looks a lot more crisp on the PS3 than it does on the Xbox, which is not surprising considering it's a PS3 game that's ported across, which you get, I think, with any most of the games where it is on one and it gets ported across, it always looks better on the one it was made for compared to the port. Because as far as I remember, I don't think it's on Xbox in Japan.
No, it's not. They're not getting that over there. They only get it on PS3.
Yeah, so I think it was all done on PS3 and then they've just done a port onto Xbox and made it English speaking, and the same for the PS3.
Yeah. They will have an international version released over there, of course, on the PS3, so they'll have our English voices. But as far as I know, there's no schedule for a 360 release over there. But it's quite odd that they've just made it for the PS3 at first, because usually a company will go with the 360 and then port to the PS3.
Yeah, I think the fact that with PlayStation 3 and it being a Japanese game big in Japan, they're not going to have any issues with sales if they just stick with PS3, where if they move into the Xbox market in the US and Europe, I think they're going to get a lot more sales, and there's going to be a lot of people who are ex-PlayStation and PlayStation 2 owners who are now 100% Xbox 360, and as soon as they found out this next one was coming out, they're like, oh shame, I really like to own a PS3 just for that game. And now they can have it on the Xbox 360 and not have to do that thing that I did where I went and bought a PS3 just for Metal Gear Solid 4. I still like my PS3. I play it more than the Xbox now.
Yeah, there's definitely something wrong with you, isn't there, Adam?
Yeah, I like PS3. I like Apple. I'm weird.
Dude, add me on PSN.
Oh, you're on a PSN, have you?
A PSN account, dude. The Smirnoff. Add me.
I will. I've advertised myself now. I found a really good use for that bubble above your avatar on Xbox 360. I've just got my PlayStation Network tag with it saying that it add me on PS3 sort of thing. So I'm actually getting added more often. So everybody who's got me on a friends on Xbox and has a PS3 has been adding me.
You know, you could of course just also put gamercast.net in there as well.
I used to have that. I've had that for the last 2 years. I wanted a change.
Okay, next up, I was just going to do a brief mention of Halo Legends, which Adam mentioned earlier when we were talking about Dante's Inferno. They announced that it's coming out on the 15th of February.
Cool.
It's having a Blu-ray and DVD release. It's going to feature... Can you move that to the side a bit? Sorry. It's going to feature 8 chapters from the Halo story. I'm not sure what it's based around because I haven't really read into it, But I do know that, because as you mentioned before, Gotham Knight, one of the studios that have done some of the work for it did some work on Gotham Knight as well.
Right.
Because they've got Production IG, Studio 4C, Toei, Studio Bones, and Casio. Although I thought Casio just made calculators and stuff like that. I didn't know there was a Casio animation studio. But I think that sounds quite good as well. And I'm looking forward to getting Halo Legends now, as well as Dante's Inferno, because I really like the whole kind of collaborative animations in a series. And then the
I think myself, it is the only way that something like a video game can be translated into the film medium and actually survive without looking cheesy. Okay, the first ones were, you've got Batman, which is kind of like, it's supposed to be set in Gotham before Dark Knight. You've got The Matrix, which is to be kind of set between one of the films, and some of them are set just in the Matrix world, and it's letting directors and writers and animators loose in the Matrix universe. Obviously, Halo and Dante's are going to be the first one from games, but the concept, I think, is really sound, where you're allowing the subject matter that people have spent all their time trying to create this environment, like for, you've got Dante's Inferno, you've got Halo, which has gone through a lot of games, and a massive universe has been created for that with books and that short film thing that came out and stuff like that. It means that they've got a large subject matter to make short films on that are more, I don't know, they kind of remind me of kind of like those studenty films that get done at the awards in America and normally get made into big movies afterwards, sort of thing. And I kind of like that, because it feels like it's not like
Well, it's nice because they're Street nice and Fire short, 2. So like, that if they are crap, hopefully another one will be better. Because the thing is, I'm quite critical when it comes to animation style, so like, and art style. Because I saw a few screenshots from the different Halo Legends, and a couple of them I just was like, that looks like stereotypical anime that I wouldn't really watch. But then another one of them looked really nice, and I'm like, hopefully, like, I think there was only 4 screenshots from, like, different ones. So, like, there's another 4 there that might look really, really cool.
Well, yeah, the same thing with the Matrix one. There's 1 or 2 where I really can't get my head around the artistic look and vibe for it. I must admit, I love the first one, which was the one done by Square Enix, or Squaresoft at the time.
I now think that one's a bit overrated, so I don't like it so much. But like,
I think
what was it? The kid, the one with the girl with the star tattoo on her face, and then I think the ones with the robots were quite nice.
What are you guys on about?
Anyway, we're going over a bit. Halo Legends.
But yeah, I think from looking at previous examples of doing this mismatch of different styles, different directors, different studios, and picking different elements, because they'll be looking at different elements. Like Dante's Inferno is a perfect example, because it's probably so easy because they're taking those different levels.
Yeah, so each circle of hell has its own different person.
Exactly. So it allows them to just be centering down into that area. And the same with for Halo, they're looking at the different aspects. Some are looking at Master Chief, some are looking at the war, and the way that they're going to split it off, it allows them to just center onto a piece of subject matter to create the story, instead of them like, we need to get everything in here. And you know, like, if you ever watch Street Fighter the movie, and not the anime one that's cool, but the actual annoying one, you know, you can tell it's been written to try and get as much stuff jammed in as possible, thinking that will make a success. And it doesn't with video games. I don't think there are many video game films that are actually any good. And I like this. I think it's going to work.
Yep.
I will be buying it.
Me too. Next up, I'm just going to do another quick mention of Heavy Rain this week, because I've been mentioning it every week for the past few weeks. But
I know you're getting me all excited.
What's the deal with Heavy Rain?
I like the studio that made it.
Yeah, what's the deal, dude? Because I remember from the Omicron website, All you seem to do on it was promote Heavy Rain.
That's because that's always been mentioned from Quantic Dream.
I see.
But then they canned Omicron too. Anyway, they recently put up the official website for it, and from the 26th of January, they're doing a viral kind of game called 4 Days, which is some sort of detective kind of thing. I'm not sure how it's going to work on the website, but so they're going to have a premise of like there's been a murder or something and you've got to do puzzles and find clues and stuff like that on the website. Hopefully it'll be quite nice and I'm quite looking forward to it. They've said you might be able to get some stuff out of it as well. I'm not sure if what will happen, but I'm looking forward to that.
Let's go back over it again. Heavy Rain is released on
26th of February. So they're starting this thing a month before it comes out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Another game that I've got to buy. Yeah. They're all coming out.
February, March, pretty much.
I am liking this. There's lots of good games that have been said, yeah, we're coming out 2010. We don't know when, later in the year. There's all these big titles. But it's nice that they started off 2010 with actually having some really good titles that are set up, ready for release, and we're not having to wait a long time filtering away through a lot of rubbish games. There's some really good titles coming out literally February, March.
But yeah, so that's cool. They also posted a few pictures of the collector's edition on the Sony EU blog. It might actually have some kind of little origami thing with it. I'm not too sure because they haven't detailed the exact specifications. But so, yep, that's Heavy Rain. Looking forward to it. And then...
In other far more important news, Star Trek Online.
Yes.
We have some Star Trek Online keys.
Well, I was going to mention something beforehand just about it. I was just going to say, because they've recently changed a fair bit of it, because last week I said how it was really shit.
We said it was really shit, and now we're going to take that back and say it's not as shit.
They have improved it a hell of a lot, because the Create Your Own Species is a load better. I tried making Wayoon this morning.
Yeah?
Yeah, but I couldn't have white skin.
Hmm.
But yeah, so they've really improved it. And so, like, if you want to create your own species, they've got a randomize button, and it actually randomizes it really, really well, and you get these totally strange looking things created because they've just added so much to it.
So yeah. Does it look like for the beta they've actually been holding a lot of content back while they're working on it and they're just betaing the base bare bones of the game?
I think they're really just throwing it all out, because the thing is, for all the people that are doing the beta and are actually going to buy the full game, then at least they'll have it all patched up. If that works that way.
Probably you just when it goes into a final game, there'll be a patch released,
yeah,
which will update it, and you'll just log in with your new account, or you can upgrade your beta account.
But yeah, so Paul's been playing it as well, so we've both been trying to play a bit more.
We both played a bit of it. I quite like the ship stuff. I'm not too fond of the, you know, the running around on the ground like a noob, or running around in ships, because it just feels like, you know, any other thing. But the actual ship stuff in like spaceships is kind of fun.
I don't understand why they're talking about shields.
Well, you've got forward, rear, and...
Yeah, but what was I supposed to do? It said something about moving stuff around.
Well, yeah, when your shields are, like, smashed, you can transfer power to a forward shield. Or, you know, just, you know, whatever.
What were you saying, sorry, Adam?
Last time we were talking about it, I mentioned if you could walk around in the ships, and you said you didn't know, but Paul just mentioned something about walking around the ship.
We don't know if you can walk around in your own ship yet, because we haven't got that far.
Yeah, but
we're still in tutorial stage.
There's like, well, I suppose levels, where you're at. Levels would be the most appropriate thing. Where yeah, you are walking around. You can't just walk around inside your own ship. Like when you're in the ship combat mode, you can't just sit at the bridge. It is a third person mode outside the ship.
Right, because this thing I keep mentioning it when I read it on the website, it was a side thing that they were trying to get finished ready for the release of the game, but it wasn't a major part of it. It was something that they added in later as a side thought. What's the ship controls like? Is it kind of like...
It's like WASD, and Q and E is decelerate and accelerate.
And you drag your... Or can you do that with Q?
Do what?
Drag your thing up.
Well, you can do it with the mouse or Q and E.
Okay. I drag
it. So it's kind of...
Well, yeah, the throttle is like... Q and E, and then WASD is just you're moving around.
You can double-click with the mouse as well, can't you?
Well, yeah, you can use the mouse to do stuff as well.
Okay.
So yeah, we have some keys to give away.
Yes.
So how are we going to do that?
Just first people on Twitter.
Okay, the first two people on Twitter who actually want a key and retweet the show, just send a DM to Gamercast.
Yep. So you retweet the show, just send me a message on Gamercast.
Give me a key, please. You can, of course, retweet the show anyway.
Yeah.
Which you should, of course, all be doing anyway. but yeah, if you do want a key, just retweet and send a DM and we'll send it over Twitter to you.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know what our Twitter is, it is
Gamercast. Yeah. The name of the show.
One last thing in the news. Aliens versus Predator.
Yeah, it's another one of those games that is coming out incredibly soon. Reading another review of some people playing it, some really nice features have come forward. Playing as the Predator, one of the cool features that you get is the ability to kill
people. the
ability to throw your voice. So you can, you know, like when you're in the Predator film, you can hear a repeat of someone else's voice that the Predator is repeating, but you can never tell where it's coming from. You can actually say something back that's in English that's from one of the Marines' voices.
Hi, Danny Glover.
You can throw it to somewhere else.
You're so much better than Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It distracts the Marines because a lot of it is for picking off one Marine at a time and thinning down the ranks instead of going in full attacking everybody at once.
Indeed.
So that was quite cool. The other thing about the aliens was the fact that the sensors for the aliens, because you played the first two, aren't you, Paul?
Of course.
Yeah, well, where you had the sense button where you could see things in a fisheye thing and you could see a lot better.
Well, yeah, the aliens basically had a regular mode, which was still really wide field.
Yeah.
So they had a 180 degree field of view, and then they had a night vision mode where everything was just a lot brighter. And yeah. Then the Predators had a normal vision, which was your regular sort of, 90 degree field of view or whatever computer games use. And then they also had the infrared and then the alien detecting one.
Yeah.
Because they don't show up on infrared.
Yeah, they said that the sensors for the aliens now can actually pick up the ping from a Marine scanner. So they can actually sense the Marines coming when you're in the sense mode. So as they're using the scanners, that ping that's going out, you actually pick that up and you kind of they said that it was very hard for them to actually describe it, but they were saying it was quite amazing actually sitting in a dark corridor hanging from a roof, watching Marines coming through who could barely see where they were going, and all they had for light were the flares that were dropping on the ground. Yet you can see an incredibly large amount of sensors, and you just sit there in the dark watching them come past and then gone. So yeah, I'm getting really excited for it.
Yep. Well, so am I. I'll see if it's any good. If it is, I will buy it.
I'm a bit
disappointed the PC version isn't a live title.
Really?
Yeah, it isn't, which sucks. If it was, I'd definitely buy it. Take a note, Sega or whoever's publishing it.
Sega.
Yeah. If you made that a live title, you would have a guaranteed...
Well, no, you just tell Rebellion.
Yeah, but Sega's probably like, don't bother doing that. We can't be bothered with the licensing hassle. So yeah, whoever responsible for that, Pete Sampras or whatever your name is.
what?
Yeah, just... Guys, if it was a live title, guaranteed sell, because I would want the gamer score from it, but I don't want to buy it on the Xbox because I want it on the PC in high resolution. Right, moving along.
Now, proving that we do care about your opinions, your letters.
We'll follow shortly after this disclaimer. Gamercast does not endorse any opinions and or views expressed in any of the letters we receive. All letters are presented as is and confers no warranty or rights. Okay. We have a letter from Scott Job. From Vengeance of Night, or Zelio Thief, or Syringe, or whatever he's calling himself nowadays.
Oh, he was Zelio Thief.
I think he was Zelio Thief. He was one of them.
I can't remember.
Really. Yeah, so this is a guy who won Dragon Age a couple of weeks back. He says, "Hey Gamercast, comma, I got my copy of Dragon Age in the mail this past week, which was actually a much timelier delivery than I was expecting given international shipping. I was scared that the game wasn't going to work on a Canadian console, but that irrational fear," irrational being the correct term, "was extinguished." Wow, he really spent some time writing this.
He knows you were going to read it.
This is actually one of the best and most well-composed letters. This is like one of the best and most well-composed letters I have seen to date.
Anyway, you haven't finished.
I have nothing to like knock down. Oh my god, he has a colon there. He doesn't really need one.
Extinguished.
Extinguished when I loaded the game up. So yeah, we did actually check, because we do like check before we say, "Oh yeah, everyone can have this game. Oh, it won't work over there. Oh, what a shame." We did like do some research first. Between other games from Christmas and such, I haven't had a chance to really sit down and give the game a shot. I wouldn't say shot, I would say a play. But I have to thank you for sending it my way, so thanks a bunch. Take care, Scott.
Thanks a bunch.
Thanks a bunch for sending me this game.
Sounds like he doesn't want it.
We should have put some Gamercast stickers in and signed t-shirts and stuff.
We don't have Gamercast stickers or signed t-shirts. You could have made your own t-shirt. You could have drawn on it. You could have drawn us on
it. What we need is someone to give us a £20 a month, and then we can have our own Team Fortress 2 server. Yeah.
Where did that come from?
So yeah, if anyone wants to donate £20 a month to us, we'll have our own like 20-person Team Fortress 2 server, and we'll let them play on it.
Yeah, and you can play with all of us.
Yeah, how's that?
That sounds like fun.
Whatever it's like. Anyway, now on for our next section, which is, of course,
Old Rant of the Week.
So this week, this is a new segment, because normally I rant about everything
during the show, throughout.
But because I'm not allowed, we're now going to have a dedicated section to my rants.
And you only get one.
I'm only allowed one item a week.
Yep. So you have to pick carefully.
You've got to think hard about it.
Or cue them up.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'll probably try and sneak in two without anyone paying attention.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, this week we have Douchebag of the Week, which is a subsection. This is basically some douchebag on the BBC. The BBC have ran a really terrible article which warns against using MS Explorer, whatever an MS Explorer is. Some sort of Mercedes-Benz, I take it. anyway, they've got a computer expert on there called Alan Stevens, and this is what he has to say.
Well, how quickly do you think they will be able to plug this gap, to eliminate this weak link, if you like?
Well, it's difficult to say. They've been losing market share for a while. Other browsers like Google, Chrome and Firefox are taking...
She just asked how long it would take to plug the hole, not if they're losing market share, Alan, if that is your real name.
You're going to keep on, yeah.
More and more market share from Microsoft, and this is going to accelerate that process. They're going to be working like mad in Silicon Valley to fix this hole, but they haven't fixed it yet.
Silicon Valley? What are you, a douchebag? Microsoft are based in Seattle.
Redmond.
Well, yeah, but you say Seattle because no bugger knows where Redmond is.
I know of Redmond. I just don't know where it is.
I bet this guy works at PC World.
Fuck knows. But yeah, I mean, you'd think if you're going to start saying, oh, they're working really fast in Silicon Valley to fix it. Like, one of the big things about the whole anti-Microsoft thing is it's always up north versus Silicon Valley. That's like one of the, you know...
But they're near each other.
In the US, you've got all the tech companies in Silicon Valley, and then you've got Microsoft up in Redmond. And they're like, you know, always opposed to one another.
Are they?
Yeah. You have all the trendy ones hanging out in California, and you have all the evil ones in rainy old Seattle.
The evil ones.
So yeah, that guy is clueless, and that is my rant of the week.
That was nice and short of you.
I didn't want to take too much time because we've already been at this way too long, and I'm tired and I'm going to go to bed. And yeah, like I was originally planning on getting this out. This is Paul's subsection of Rant of the Week. I was originally planning on getting Gamercast up tonight, but the amount of work I'm going to have to do to put all these segments in, because I actually need to record the proper segments. The ones I'm saying to you guys at the moment are not the ones which are actually final.
Not that they'll hear them.
No, well... obviously, everyone listening will hear different segments, unless I leave the original ones in and just, like, paste after them.
Cool, we're having sound effects.
I will probably put in something or other.
Hopefully something a bit serious sounding.
But since I've been asking people for ideas for like a week.
I'm sorry!
And nobody's given me anything. So I'm going to have to just think of this at the last minute, which means it's going to suck.
Wait,
okay, maybe we should put that out to the people that if anyone can come up with some cool ideas for the actual...
Wait a minute. If anyone wants to send us really good like segues or segments or transitions or whatever the fuck they're called.
Yeah.
Yeah, if anyone wants to send us any, like, cool things to use, like, just saying, like, news and letters and Paul's Rant of the Week and things like that, feel free to. We will now move on to our next thing, which is, of course, as everyone knows from listening to past episodes...
New releases this week.
Yep. We're just going to do a quick little mention of what's coming out this week. So it'll be the 22nd of January?
The stuff coming out on Friday.
Comes out Friday. Okay, fine. Friday, the 22nd.
Well, for our UK-based listeners.
For the UK listeners. For the American listeners, if they haven't got them already, it'll be on the Tuesday. Don't do that. Anyway, so the main release, I'd say, of the week is Dark Void.
Is Yu-Gi-Oh! Tank Force 4?
No, it's not. Dark Void... Which is a new Capcom published game.
You're putting Dark Void before Yu-Gi-Oh?
Yes, Paul, I'm putting Dark Void before Yu-Gi-Oh.
What the hell is Yu-Gi-Oh? Oh, that's that thing I used to call Yu-Gi-Oh, isn't it?
Yes. Anyway, Dark Void. Who's it?
What are you doing?
I was just scrolling down.
What are you doing?
Scrolling down. It's not actually made by Capcom. It's produced by a smaller company.
Capcom doesn't make anything anymore.
But,
Is that one where you're on a jetpack?
Yeah, you've got a jetpack, something with the Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, jeez. That might be my rant of the week next week, then.
Technology.
How the Bermuda Triangle is bollocks.
Robot-like enemies and aliens and UFOs.
You're kind of flying up a cliff face or down a cliff face, and you're grabbing hold of it. And
I think it's set a bit back in time as well. I really should know a bit more about it.
Yes,
I have played
you
it, but... There is actually a demo as well on Xbox Live and on the PSN for if anyone wants to give
it
a try.
Wait. So you've got a jetpack, but it's set in the past.
I think it is. I think it's like
steampunk.
We don't
even have jetpacks now which work.
Steampunk.
What does that mean?
Steampunk.
Steampunk?
Steampunk for
it's
the win.
It's a steam-powered jetpack. Well, why is it called a jetpack? Surely it should be a steampunk.
I don't know. I'm thinking it's steampunk, but I might be wrong. But I must say it did look a lot like Uncharted Tomb Raider kind of... visual styling environments and stuff like
that. It does have that vibe.
Yeah. As I said, there's a demo up, so everyone can give it a go, see if they want to get it. If you pre-order from Game, they're giving away figures at the moment with it.
Ooh, Game, huh?
I've already got one. Yeah, Game.
Pre-order your DSi XL at Game.
Only £20 deposit.
Thank you, right. The other release...
Well, no, there's two more releases.
You dismissed Yu-Gi-Oh, so I have to say...
I didn't dismiss Yu-Gi-Oh. You could talk about Yu-Gi-Oh. I'll talk about the next thing.
I don't know what the fuck Yu-Gi-Oh is.
Capcom are also having another game come out this week, which is a re-release of Resident Evil Zero, which is going to follow like how they've done. I think they've released Resident Evil 2 so far.
It is.
And it's Resident Evil Archives Zero.
It is.
And it's just...
Is this on the Wii?
Yeah, it's on the Wii. I'm not sure
great.
If they've
Another
actually...
Capcom game on the Wii.
I'm not sure if they've actually changed it at all, or if it's just a total just port of some sort. Because, I mean, it was a GameCube game originally anyway.
Because I saw something that's come out recently that was Resident Evil on the Wii, and I wasn't sure what that was.
There was Darkseid Chronicles.
Yeah.
Which is a new shooter one.
Sounds fun.
Which is exactly
They had that one that was... the first one, which was a rail game. I had that.
But yeah, so Resident Evil 4 on the Wii, if you don't have it on the GameCube and you want to play it. So yeah. Do you want to talk about the next one?
I don't know anything about Yu-Gi-Oh, do I?
Well, there's a new Yu-Gi-Oh game coming out on the PSP, of course, because that's all it ever comes out on. Actually, no, it comes out on the DS, isn't it? But I'm quite sure it's only on the PSP. But it's a Yu-Gi-Oh Tag Force 4 new card game. It allows up to 4 players to compete against each other. I'm sure you'll get a free special edition card with it, because that's what they've always done. But yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh! Trading cards, that kind of stuff. I'm sure most game stores will only get maybe two copies in, and the little kids who want it will be fighting over it. So yeah.
Yeah, they'll be dueling with each other outside.
But yeah, so that's Yu-Gi-Oh. Paul?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So stop reading my blog, or flicking through my blog. There you go. So that's pretty much it.
Yeah, there's no reviews or previews this week. No.
I might do one next week.
And so might Adam.
Yeah, because I'm still playing through Assassin's Creed.
Demon's Souls.
I'm going to have to start putting my money aside because I'm getting a serious list of games I want.
Yeah, I've got about £300 worth of games that I'm going to be buying over the next few months. Most expensive of them being like God of War 3 Ultimate Edition, which is like 110 quid.
Ouch.
It's got like God of War 1 and 2 for the PS3, and then God of War 3, and it comes in Pandora's box and has loads of crap with it.
See, I am being very good because I've managed to save up 500 quid, which I could quite happily just spend on video games, but I'm spending it on my new Senti Quack tablet. So I'm being very good.
Why don't you just buy a tablet PC?
Because this will work on my Mac.
Your what? Oh, Macintosh. Oh, I didn't know those things were still around.
I'm talking to you on one.
Is that why the sound quality is so bad from your end, is it? Oh, okay.
No, it's because the hamster in the back that's powering the internet is getting tired.
Yeah, blame it on the hamster.
Poor little hamster.
Anyway, let's wrap this thing up.
Yep.
So feedback can, of course, go to the blog at gamercast.net. Just leave a comment on there. You could also email us. I don't really know if the email even works, to be honest. feedback at gamercast.net. You can also
probably all these people who have been emailing for months going, they never read out my email.
Well, I don't test these things, do I?
You were saying?
You can also leave us a donation. There is a donate button on the website, and that can help pay for
the server.
For Adam.
For Adam.
Well, we do have Adam's wages to pay. He's not cheap.
I ain't getting paid.
Oh. I get paid?
Yes, you get paid. Unfortunately, your agent takes a 100% cut.
You see the agent.
So yeah, there is now a donate thing on there because this does cost us, what, 6 or 7 quid a month to do, plus the domain, plus, of course, all our time, which I think we should charge £10 per hour, is a fairly reasonable figure. And plus, like I said, if anyone wants to donate us 20 quid a month, I'll get a Team Fortress server and I'll let them play on it. Or, of course, you could probably buy your own Team Fortress server for about 8 quid a month, but whatever. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/gamercast.
Yep, and don't forget you can also win get a Star Trek Online beta key from us if you just send us a direct message and retweet the show. That's all the feedbacky stuff, isn't it?
Leave us a review on iTunes or any other podcasting software which you use to get us.
And if you're any good at doing segments, feel free to create us some segments like news, letters, Paul's rants.
Yeah, I mean, just use like, we've got the intro music, so just like my first.
What, put that in the background?
My first plan was to put that in the background and just have me saying it in a funny voice.
It's not easy being green.
If you're not any good at creating any segments, another idea I've got, if you're not any good at creating segments, if you've got any ideas of what we could actually say that might be quite good and what sound effects could be in the background.
Gamercast sponsored by portalforums.net, bringing you the news this week.
Yeah, somewhere like that. You know, if it's something we can create ourselves, then we can do it.
Yes, indeed. We shall be back next week, of course.
Hopefully.
With episode 184.
Yep, hopefully they'll be sounding good.
Because that comes after 183.
I hope so.
So until then, we'll see you guys later.
Yep, bye-bye.
Laters.